2024 edition, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. JoJo, what is up? Where are we today? This is your gym.
That's the best gym around. We're at Competitive Edge Strength and Conditioning in Hermitage, 3317 Lebanon Pike, or Lebanon Road, for all those that grew up here. I don't know when the Pike came in part of this. But anyway, stop by. We got Preds tickets we're going to be giving away. We'll talk to Mark Johnson, the owner, in a little bit, and kind of get you fired up to get your fitness goals in 2024. Better place to go and do that is at my home gym, because, and as you hear the commercial runs, man, this place has really had a positive impact on my life. And we'll talk more about that during the show. So we're excited to be here today.
Yeah, well, for sure excited to be here. And, you know, it's funny. Some of my friends were like, hey, you need to, on Tuesday, you need to hit the gym. You need to make sure you go to the gym. I go, well, I am. We'll be there 9 o'clock.
You did so. It.
I am at the gym, so there you go.
Well done. Everybody's... Yeah, the hardest part of going to the gym is getting to the gym, and you've made it here, and so we're done at 11. I think you're going to lead us in a Zumba workout for about 30 minutes, so I look forward to that. So way to go, Chase.
Do they have that here? Is that something they offer?
They do now with you.
Nice. Well, looking forward to it for sure. We had a fun day of college football yesterday, starting with – I mean, you had the LSU and Wisconsin and the ReliQuest Bowl.
Good game.
LSU ends up winning that game. I think everybody around here, of course, is talking about the Citrus Bowl with the Vols 35-0. What a day. Well, it wasn't the debut for Nico, but, like, first start looked really, really good.
Well, and that's a really good Iowa defense they played yesterday, too. But, I mean, speed. I mean, they did this. Tennessee and Iowa played again in the 2014, I think it was the Gator Bowl. And same result. I mean, speed just decimates and speed kills, and yesterday you saw that, and Tennessee was the far physical team, and Nico looked great, and now the talk begins. I've already saw the Nico for Heisman, and I love it. You know, why not? Just go ahead. If that makes you happy, talk about Nico like that, put it out there, and that's wonderful. But, Chase, I think to a larger degree, it might have been the greatest day of college football we've ever seen, and I mean that. But look at the both games last night.
Yeah, the games were –
amazing.
Well, here's what I think I will say about the Alabama-Michigan game. For a while, I kind of thought it was boring. But then, like, when I go back and I look at it, I realize that it really wasn't.
No.
It was a defensive battle. You had some mistakes from both sides.
Right.
And then you get the result of overtime. And if I am Nick Saban, I left my offensive coordinator in Pasadena for the play calls on that second possession in overtime.
So I went and listened to the press conference, and I went back and I watched that play over and over again. It's actually an okay call, right, if executed properly. The problem was the right guard with a kickout block missed the guy completely, and he blocked a ghost. He went upfield, blocked a ghost. That made the outside linebacker turn in. And so I think Milroe also panicked a little bit when the snap was low. But to a larger degree, you've known me for years. Throw the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, that's my problem. It's not just that one particular play. I mean, everybody's going to focus on that one particular play, and I get it. But I thought the whole – after they got the first down, the whole sequence, you have four downs. Like, you are in perfect territory.
Right.
And you're just running the same stuff, basically.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, there was no creativity. You know, Michigan has a really, really good defense. And I felt like you just didn't respect that at that point.
Well, that's a play you run in the third quarter, because the Michigan, they had six guys, I think, in the box, and you try to jumble them all in there, and you run on the outside there. But the low snap got to it. But, again, prime example, people. Titans Super Bowl, right? Throw the ball into the end zone, not at the two-yard line where you get tackled. Get the ball into the end zone. And I think Alabama, I think the offensive coordinator, I think he failed at that moment in that game, and that'll be talked about for a long time.
Yeah, it will for sure. So Michigan wins 27-20. They'll advance to the national championship. And then we got, I guess, the final edition of Pac-12 After Dark, because that's basically what it was.
Right. It's a great game,
you
man.
Know, kickoff at – 8:30 almost.
Yeah, right.
just after 8. So it was a late one, but I stayed up watching it. Michael Penix is fun to watch, and his story's great. You know, was at Indiana and then goes to Washington, and you know, I was seeing a bunch of tweets last night. How come he didn't win the Heisman? And you know, it just I think there was an argument for Jaden Daniels, and he ultimately ends up winning it. But Penix looked really, really good. Washington wins 37-31, but, you know, it was the old announcer jinx when McDonough said that, you know, hey, it looks like that's about it. And then all of a sudden Texas gets another possession and was in position to win the ball game.
Yeah, right.
In the closing seconds. And, you know, I thought Ewers led a really nice drive downfield. You know, they Washington shot themselves in the foot a little bit on some things. And they were right there, but ultimately Washington was able to get the stop and advance. And I will be the first to admit there were some people on Twitter that, you know, when I asked the question, do you care about the national championship, thought I was dumb for asking that question.
Right. That's a good point. I mean, I was curious.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a curious question, but I was wrong. And I will admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong about Washington.
Oh, we all were.
I did not think Washington was going to hang. I thought that Washington – now, look, we saw this with TCU last year, that TCU ends up beating Michigan. They go to the championship, and then they get boat raced by Georgia. So, you know, it very well could be Michigan is on a mission and, you know, could boat race Washington, or Washington could boat race Michigan.
No, I mean, I totally
could certainly go either way. But
don't compare.
I think we're going to see a good game.
Don't compare Washington to TCU. The TCU, I know they won the game last year, but they got lightning in the bottle for one game. And now the Washington receivers don't drop any passes, man. Those guys caught everything, and it was a great performance by Washington. I mean, Texas would come back, then Washington go out and score. So it set up two really good football games last night. And the question is, I mean, you know, we're stuck in SEC country, which is fantastic, but do you care about now the national championship with, you know, Michigan and Washington now that the South, by the SEC basically, is out of the tournament? Do you care? And I do, because I love college football, but I think some be like, nah, I'm good, because there's no representation from the league in the national championship for the first time since 2014.
Right. Bradford on our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If I was Nick Saban, I would have left my center in Pasadena, too. Those low snaps killed the quarterback's timing. I mean, I think it was high pressure for everybody.
Oh, I absolutely, yeah. And so now you just, you know, and think about Alabama was, look, we remember they were, what, 1-1, and, you know, people like, oh, they're done, and to rally back, and they beat Georgia, and they did win the SEC championship. I mean,
right. They
did. I know the goal was the national championship, but it was still a great season and a great coaching job by Nick Saban in Alabama.
Yeah, I think college football got what they wanted with the 4-team playoff, and now
right.
We'll see what it looks like with the 12-team playoff. I mean, I've always been pro-expansion. I think 12 is too many, but I always thought that 4 was too few, and 12 would be too many. And so I think that it's probably the right move to expand, but I think that 6 or 8 would have been the sweet spot. But we'll find out what it looks like. I mean, I went to the Peach Bowl on Saturday in Atlanta between Penn State and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Ole Miss wins that game. But that's probably two playoff teams next year. You know, if you think about it, I think two losses, especially if you're in the Big Ten and the SEC with the – the expansion that they're going through, you probably get in. So,
I'm not
going to be interested.
I'm not going to comment. I mean, of course, you know me. I'm not a fan of that, but I'm not going to comment again until we see it all plays out. I mean, they were like, well, you know, if Tennessee would have been in there, they'd have run pretty good with Nico. I mean, it's hypotheticals left and right what happens. But now it is, you know, they'll expand and they'll expand again because two more teams will be upset they're left off and go on and on and on. So we'll see what happens. But let's just take, you know, kind of look back and be proud of what the two games yesterday were, and hopefully sets up for a great national championship. And Tennessee Vol fans are happy because of Nico and how they played yesterday. So, look, it's January 2nd. We're already getting ready for the next season in the SEC. You welcome Texas and Oklahoma. So there's a lot to look forward to and a lot to be happy about.
Yes, indeed. So we'll take your calls and your texts today on the national championship. You know, what is your interest level in the national championship? 615-737-1025, as Michigan will take on Washington. So it is number one versus number two in the national championship next Monday, which we'll have on our airwaves. And also we will definitely dive into Tennessee as they move into the Nico era officially as he took over and was the starter, looked very good in their win over Iowa, 35-0 on New Year's Day. Much more to get into for sure, and also the Titans.
Right.
They lose again, and, you know, one more.
One more to go.
One more, and then who knows what it looks like in the offseason.
But a chance to play spoiler.
Yeah, chance to play spoiler. And I think there'll be guys. Look, to me, the interest level, the intrigue about the Titans game is that it's probably going to be the last time you see Derrick Henry in a Titans uniform.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And I think that will get people's interest and probably get people to go to the game because you want to be able to say that you saw Derrick in his last game.
I'd say run him. Let him hit the ball 40 times, man. Let him go out in a blaze of glory if this is what it's going to be.
100%. We are live today at Competitive Edge here in – is it Hermitage?
Hermitage. 3317 Lebanon Pike in Hermitage. Get your new year, Chaser.
New year, new
get
year.
Get out and get working, and we'll talk to the owner of the gym, Mark Johnson, at 9:45, about what all is going on here and how you could be part of this great place.
Chase and Big Joe, we are presented by Regal Realty Group here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, live today, Competitive Edge, here in Hermitage on Lebanon Pike. Come by and see us. A lot of people in here working out right now. I hope we're adding to their workout. You know, by giving them a live, you know, radio show.
Yeah,
the audience
people
here.
Feel good about them. They should feel good about themselves to hear working.
Hey, you
out
all are
today.
Doing great. Good job.
Yeah, well done, everybody. Packed out. Yeah, we're excited about this. 3317 Lebanon Road in Hermitage. Come by and say hi, and then register for some Pred tickets to give away. Some other things that are going on too, as well. So a lot of fun. So our question today is: with a national championship, not having zero SEC teams for the first time since 2014, and we're down in SEC country, do you care about the national championship now? I mean, because this is the first time in nearly 10 years where there's not representation from the SEC, and I want to know. I mean, I do because I love college football, but the ones who are the, you know, just a little bit more than casual, do you care about it?
Yeah, and I think I do. I'm intrigued. Like, you know, sure, I've grown up in SEC country. I definitely have an SEC bias. I'm an SEC fan. You know, I'm not an Alabama fan. I wasn't necessarily cheering for Alabama. I thought Alabama was going to win, and I was wrong. I thought Texas was going to win, and I was wrong. And so, you know, that is what it is. But I am intrigued by the matchup. I think Michigan, obviously, they have their own storyline. Jim Harbaugh has a really, really big chip on his shoulder. And, you know, the question is, win or lose this game, is he the head coach at Michigan next year, or does he bolt to the NFL because of, you know, I know he served a suspension, but, you know, you have to figure more is coming at some point with everything, with their Spygate deal that they went through. So I think there's a lot of intrigue there. And then you got Penix and the Washington Huskies that, you know, are basically just riding that, hey, nobody believed in us, watch this, hold my beer.
They've done quite well.
And they've gotten to the national championship.
Yeah, Washington won the title, I think they 91. I think they shared it with Miami in 91. And, of course, Michigan won it in 97. So both teams have been to the promised land. And we will see what happens. But I think it'd be a good game. But, I mean, going back to last night, that Rose Bowl, I mean, you thought Alabama got that momentum in the second half. Then Michigan had that great drive down the field, dinking and dunking and being excited and different plays and kind of not just going up the middle of the field and putting Alabama on their heels. And then Bama, you know, I just thought in the overtime they had no confidence in Milroe. That's what I kind of gathered from Alabama in the overtime.
Yeah, it was conservative play calling, I think.
Yep.
You know, I think that's probably how I would put it. But feel free to weigh in on our question, you know, how much interest do you have in the national championship? Marlon from Murfreesboro, I think it will be a lower rating, but I'll be happy to see Michigan win and have it stripped in 2 years with Harbaugh going to the Chargers next year.
That was a lot of people were seeing that last night across the channels about, hey, it'll be vacated in a couple of years with all that goes on, but nothing you better do about it now. Just go out and play football. I'm saying a lot of people are rooting for Washington just because of that.
Yeah.
We really have no dog in the fight.
1423 says, Chase, I think you need to acknowledge how wrong you were about the Alabama-Michigan game. You said Alabama was going to blow Michigan out of the water, and that didn't happen anywhere close. You're right. I'm 100% wrong.
I said it, too. A lot of people said
I thought
that.
I think I was more on, I thought Texas would blow out Washington. And I was definitely wrong. I was wrong on both. I mean, I'll admit it. I was wrong on both.
Right.
There's nothing.
Well, I mean, the majority of people thought Alabama was going to roll because of where they played down the stretch. This knocked off the best team in the country in Georgia, right? And Michigan went into the championship of beating Iowa, which is like, okay, no big deal. I mean, Tennessee dismantled Iowa yesterday. So it was one of those things where you feel like Alabama had all that going in the game. But early on, just the Michigan's game plan to put pressure on Milroe, and it paid off big time. And, of course, you know, the bad snaps all throughout the game. As Titans fans, y'all should know what bad snaps are because you've seen them all year long. But give it to me. I mean, look. There's a lot of credit needs to go to Michigan for winning that game. And we're talking about how Alabama blew it in that last play, and they did. But a lot of credit goes to Michigan getting the ball first in overtime and scoring and then forcing Alabama to get in the end zone. They couldn't do it.
Jeff basically just said that watching Alabama's O-line let the Michigan defense rush right through to repeatedly sack Milroe. Thought I was watching the Titans
again. Yeah, exactly, right? So I just thought that was kind of the theme. Like, let's let Jalen Milroe kind of manage this game in overtime for us and get the hands in the playmakers. But – I mean, that last call was going to be talked about for a long, long time.
Dylan, I think this is a shot at me. Everyone's happy when Alabama loses the same way everyone's happy when the Cowboys lose. The world is healing. Take that a little personal, Dylan.
Are we going to – I mean, how
– Oh, we're going to talk about it.
The Cowboys game?
We're going to talk about it.
Now the Lions are being charged with deception because he sent over three linemen or something, and that was
– Yeah, I look.
I don't. I watched it. I've rewatched it. I still don't know what went on. It's crazy.
So I think a lot of things. I mean, we can talk about it now. I think a lot of things are at play here. I think that one, the officiating crew was awful. I think, and Brad Allen, like his crew, has a history of not being very good and missing stuff. I mean, they missed a call. You know, everybody was like, "Oh, the Cowboys only had the ball for 24 seconds before they had to punt it away." Well, they missed a call on that series where there was a run that was negated because they called it on a Cowboy when really it should have been on a Lion.
Right.
And so they screwed that up. And then the whole thing with the – they just got confused. I don't know if it was deception by Dan Campbell. I mean, he was pretty quick to, like, not want to talk about it. So at first. And then, you know, they send three guys up there, which – I mean, I guess all three can be eligible if you're going to line them up in different positions.
There's a lot of I don't knows on this, and I thought I knew football well.
Yeah.
So if 68's not eligible, then why does he go over? Because
right.
Goff pushes him over to the referee.
Sure.
And then 70's the one that's supposed to be checking in. So there's a lot. So you can look at the deception thing,
but,
like, yeah, that's kind of okay.
But hypothetically, you could put in three offensive linemen as three tight ends, right? As
long I don't as think you can, right?
You can't?
I don't.
Okay.
Well, they can't go out for a pass. I mean, I really don't know that rule. That's crazy.
See, clearly I don't either. Because, like, I look at it as, okay, as long as you have 11 guys and they're all lined up where they're supposed to be, doesn't
right.
matter what position that they technically play.
As long as you got 7 men on the line of scrimmage and then five have to be – are ineligible for passes and then the
right.
other five can go or, you know, this one got those to himself, six go out there. That's just a crazy – rule. And then but I love the play call, man. If everything stood, that's a great going back to a lineman in the corner of the end zone was great.
Right.
Now I thought he's a bonehead move by not kicking the extra point, but you know, that's all gonna be debated down the line and see what happens.
Yeah,
that's just crazy. I mean, and I'm not sure anybody knows exactly what's going on with all that.
No Drew says Alabama's center looked atrocious. Good thing he's a senior. He looked atrocious all year. Titans will probably draft him in the first round.
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh
my
boy.
Goodness.
Steven from Hendersonville says, yes, I'm excited about the title game. Bama, UGA, and every other SEC team could go to hell for all I care. The Vols do not get to hang championship banners when other SEC teams win.
Yeah, so that's another great question. Again, I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, don't you love seeing Alabama get beat?
Sure. Yeah, because look, the age-old debate is if your team's not in it, do you pull for the conference? And I don't. You know, I'm one of those that I will find a team in the game that I kind of end up going for. And I made the pick that I thought that Alabama would win, I thought Texas would win. Obviously, I'm going
for – A lot of people did.
For my pick.
Yeah.
And – wager.
And it didn't happen. But I just think if you're an if Tennessee fan, you love what you saw Alabama getting beat. That's just
yeah.
the way – that's just the nature of competitive. in competition, and you see them get beat, and that's like, all right, move on. But a lot of people don't like Harbaugh, so there's a lot of drama involved in these games. And I think the Washington team is might be the Cinderellas in all of this, because there's the, you know, the unknown team from up in Seattle and the damage they're doing so far.
Shane says, as long as you have 11 guys and are not covered up, which was not then, you can have 10 report eligible if you want. Not all will be eligible, but they can report. And he was not covered up, so it was legal.
Okay. That's like reading the terms and conditions on my Apple phone. I'm after the first sentence, I'm like, all right, just accept yes. I just crazy, but we'd never seen that before.
The Lions coach didn't help anything. Oh, he's saying he should have kicked. Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, don't you think by the third time that you're having to attempt this that that's the football gods telling you to kick the point?
Right. So they moved back to the 8, and then Parsons jumped off, and they went back to the 4, and they tried it again. Yeah, it should, just should have kicked the extra point from the 8-yard line. And is that right? Yeah, from the 8. Yeah,
and then, just take it at that point.
Yep.
Like, I mean, whether it was right or wrong on the call – like, you didn't get it, and so now you got to try from way back at the 8, so why not just take the point and then go to overtime?
Yeah, and I agree with the original call. I mean, you got – that's the argument we get to all the time. It's like, look, you got your guys on the 3-yard line with one chance to win the game. I know there was a little time left on the clock for Dallas. I get all that stuff, but you can still get the lead and put your defense out there. Go for two. Get the win. Go for the win at that moment. Believe in your guys to do that. I will die on that hill for always going for two, always going for two, because you do not let them get the ball back. If they get the ball back, have them make sure there's very little time left on the clock, but believe in your team to stop them.
Yep, 100%. Coming up next, we'll shift gears. We'll get into some hockey with our man Hal Gill. Predators back in action tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena. We are live at Competitive Edge here on Lebanon and Pike in Hermitage, but Nick Frazier, Dr. Crane back at the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Visit springhillac.com. Excited to have them on board with us as our studio sponsors. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live today at Competitive Edge on Lebanon and Pike. We're giving some stuff away, JoJo.
Yeah, we got pairs of hockey tickets for this Thursday and for next Tuesday. So stop by and say hi. 3317 Lebanon Pike here in Hermitage, Lebanon Road, Pike, whatever. It's in Hermitage. You know where it is. So stop by, and we're till 11 o'clock today. And so getting your new year off right, man. Get to the gym. Get those goals going. And I'm not a big resolution guy because they always get broken. I'm a more like just get off your butt and go get it done. but, yeah, this is a fantastic gym. It's where I come – probably 7 times a week, man, and got a boxing class here, and it's had a positive impact on my life, and I know it will for others who come by.
Yeah, now I see the bags here. So you'd like to work the hanging bags, or
heck yeah, man, cardio boxing class 3 nights a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And look, I've dropped 60 pounds, and a large part of this because of this gym. Eating right's good, but the boxing class is fantastic, man.
Well, definitely come by, say hi, register to win those tickets, and
if you want to go 3 rounds with me, we can do it during the break.
And go 3 rounds with JoJo.
Yeah.
So if they last the 3 rounds, is that how they win the tickets?
No. If I last the 3 rounds, I get the tickets. That's how it works today. That's the only way it works. But we'll talk to Mark Johnson, the owner, in a little bit about this is a locally owned gym. There's none of that dumb pizza party that happens at other gyms. I mean, you come in here and you get to work.
Let's go to the phones and talk to Hal Gill. I know Hal knows how to box a little bit. Skillsy on the line with us as the Predators back in action tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. Happy New Year, Hal.
Happy New Year, guys.
So the Predators trying to get after it tonight. They get the shootout win in Washington after falling in OT Friday night in Detroit. So you'll take those points, though, that you got on the 2-game road trip.
Yeah, I think they were pretty upset that they didn't get 2 points in Detroit. I thought they played a solid game, and I think they probably deserved more than just 1 point, but I think it fired them up for the next game. I thought they came out with a lot of pop against the Capitals, and you know, they didn't quite finish the game the way they wanted to, but I think that start that they had was more of the way they should be playing hockey, and then they found a way to win at the end, kind of a crazy game, and fun for Skarov to get that win against Ovechkin and all that. So it was a good story, good way to finish off the year, and now you get a little break and you get right back at it.
Yeah, exactly. And Andrew Brunette, you know, what I like about Bruno is how honest he is about where the team is at this current time. And, you know, they do find themselves, you know, competing for a playoff spot. You got to like some of the ways that they've played and the wins that they've had. But, you know, he continues to send the message of, hey, we're not done. This is a work in progress, especially with some of these young guys. What else do you want to see from the young players specifically, Hal, as they go into the new year?
Yeah, I think there's you know, after that Detroit game, he had all the young guys went on the ice the next day before the Capitals game. They all went on a morning skate. I think the message was kind of sent like, hey, you know, nothing's going to be given to you. You're going to have to work and you're going to have to dig in. And I think they're at that point where, okay, we've been patient with you. We're gonna continue to be patient with you, but now we got to push you. You got to earn this spot. And if you're not going to earn the spot, then you know the NHL is not an easy thing. You got to keep proving yourself. And I think that's where they're at right now with the young guys. Like you need to step it up. And I always said, like, as a young kid, you got to go out there and show that you're willing to fight. And I don't mean fight and go and punch people and get punched in the face, but I do mean, you know, get your nose dirty. And I think the response, like Evangelista's goal in Washington, he's going to the net. He's in front of the net and he's digging in and his skill came out and he scores a goal. Those are the little things that I think we need to see more of from the young guys. And, you know, they have the leadership. They have O'Reilly, Forsberg, Nyquist. Those guys are digging in and playing great hockey. They need some support, and that's going to come from the young guys.
Talking to Hal Gill this morning here on 102.5 The Game. Hal, now we're starting to see a little separation in the standings, which means, you know, this game tonight, the game Thursday, I mean, these are critical games, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Chicago, I was really hoping that they would be a little bit better than they are, but it's really just Bedard trying to do as best he can as an 18-year-old buzzing around out there. Yeah, you got to step on their throats, right? I mean, if you got a team below you, you got to win. You got to get those 2 points because you know how hard it is. And the Preds, like, look at some of their schedule. They had, you know, they're just playing powerhouse after powerhouse, and it was tough sledding. But they found a way to compete in those games, and they got to bring that compete to the lesser teams and step on them. And I think this is a game tonight where Chicago should be beat. I mean, you know. That's not historically the way it's always been, but right now they have a chance to step up, and I think this is a great game for the young guys to say, hey, we're a better team. Let's go and establish dominance and crush these guys.
How much fun has it been covering this team, Hal, this last month with the great wins? I mean, this road trip they were on, getting 3 or 4 points and the win Saturday was just fantastic. How much fun has it been watching these young guys and these old guys come together?
Yeah, I love the way they play. I love Bruno's style. I love the characters on the team. You know what I mean? They're just fun to. It makes it easy to root for. And I think the biggest thing, as you know, if I have to talk about these games, whether it's on radio or TV, and they never let you down for too long, right? I think the biggest thing I enjoy about this team is if they do lose a game, they're coming back, and they're going to give you a good performance. They're going to dig in and fight the next game. And so that makes it a lot more fun to follow these guys because they just don't go into those little slumps. And so that combined with, you know, a faster-paced game, more offensive, more risk-taking, but also more speed and more competitiveness. It's fun.
We're talking to Hal Gill, presented by Duncan. And Skillsy, as we get into the new year, this is when the trade winds start to blow and the trade talks happen out there. And Barry Trotz said a couple of weeks ago when he was on with Jared that the players are going to dictate what he does towards the deadline. If he feels like adding something is going to help this team, then he'll look at those options. And if he feels like that it doesn't, then, you know, he'll listen and look at other options. If they were to start adding, what is something that you would be looking for this team when it comes to improving them, not only for the now, but for the future.
Yeah, I think that's the balance that is going to be tough for Barry Trotz to kind of get through. You know, Bruno and the players, they want to add pieces. You always want to add pieces. You want to put the GM in a position where he says, hey, this team's got a chance, you know, to do something. Let's support them. They've been working hard and like, hey, we need support here. Give us some help. But I don't think Barry Trotz wants to risk the future for a team right now that's not really poised to win the cup. You know, you want to give players to a team, and you want to bring in the rentals, and you want to, you know, support all positions when you have a chance to win the cup. And I don't think they're there yet. I think they're competitive, and they could surprise us, and that's the fun part. But I think, you know, that secondary scoring, someone that's younger that's going to be part of the future, if you can find a way to trade for, you know, a left winger, a power winger that could play first or second line, I think that's where you got to look for. But that's got to be part of the future. That's got to be someone that you could sign a contract on and figure out. And so there's also, you know, the Tyson Barrie thing where he's injured. You know, there's guys that, you know, if they're not part of the future now, then you know, you got to think about moving them. So a lot to consider. I wouldn't want to be Barry Trotz, because I think he's on the teetering spot right now where he could go either way.
Hal, you know a lot of people in this league. Can you call somebody at the Arizona Coyotes and just tell them to stop it, stop playing good, and just go back to being Arizona? Can you do that for us?
It's crazy, isn't it? You know what? It's kind of fun because I feel bad for them. They're playing in that small rank, and although that's cool, I think the luster wears off, and you just want to be on an NHL team and play in an NHL rank and have some certainty in your life. And they just keep plugging wins. So I tip my hat to them. You know, they've gone through a lot, and they've rebuilt that team. But, you know, they're having some fun right now. So that's I think there's a lot of teams looking around going, okay, why can't that be us, right? I mean, that's the fun part.
Skillsy, real quick before we let you go, what did you think of the Winter Classic yesterday in Seattle?
You know what? I thought it was awesome. The game itself, like the aesthetics and the way it looked, I thought it was really well done. I'm not quite there. I'm still a little bit of an old curmudgeon, and I just don't want to see guys dressed up every time they go into a game. You know, I'm a little over that. But I think that brings attention to the game and makes it more of a spectacle. So I guess I have to change with the times, I guess. But really cool aesthetic. I thought Seattle did a great job.
Yeah, I thought so too. We will see you tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Blackhawks, appreciate it. Happy New Year, Hal.
Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Hal Gill, presented by Dunkin', joins us every Tuesday at 9:30 here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We're live today at Competitive Edge Strength and Conditioning in Herbinage. We'll be here until 11 o'clock. So come by, say hello, check out this awesome locally owned and operated gym. Plus, you can win some Preds tickets as well as a free membership to Competitive Edge. So definitely come by, sign up for that. Our man Sean is here, and you can see Joe. Maybe he'll sign a book for you.
Maybe I'll do that. We'll talk to the owner, Mark Johnson, coming up next, Chaser.
Yes, we will. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live today, Competitive Edge Strength and Conditioning in Hermitage. Come out and see us. This is Big Joe's gym.
He's the best gym around, man.
All the time. And we're joined now by the owner, Mark Johnson, who is with us. Mark, thanks so much for having us today.
Man, thanks for coming out. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, this is obviously it's the first of the year. This is when everybody decides they're going to join the gym.
Oh, yeah. This is our favorite time of the year for sure.
Yeah, and the key is, what do people need to do to actually stay involved in the gym and make it a regular thing?
I like Joe. I'm not a big fan of the word, like, resolution. I mean, yeah. Resolutions, they come, they go. You know, we encourage people to make it a lifestyle change. You know, you get in this to stay in this, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what the fitness business, to me, is about. You know, we get people in here. It's a very family-oriented atmosphere. It's a kind of an old-school gym. Everybody knows everybody. Some people call it the Cheers gym, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, when people come in here, they meet a lot of people, and it's almost just like a a place to come hang out and work out. You know,
yeah.
It's a type of gym. I mean, you come in here, you train, you work out. You know, it's old school.
So yeah. How many years now you've been here?
We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary.
See, a lot of gyms last 6-9 months. They get you married and they head out of town. 10 years, what's the secret to this success?
Just relationships, building relationships with our customers. You know, we have, I think, 8 trainers now. And all the trainers kind of know each other's clients, you know. And when people come in, you're greeted by first name a lot of times, you know. So we're in this really. I got into this business because just basically to make an impact on people's lives. That's what this is all about for me.
So, you know, I love the whole concept of being like the Cheers gym and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, for somebody like me that is just, I'm intimidated whenever I walk in a gym of like, oh, everybody's going to be staring at me. Like, look at this idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing, which nobody cares. I know that. But so how do you kind of help people that may have those jitters when they come in for the first time?
You know, the cool thing is when you walk in this gym, you're going to see people of all ages from all walks of life. And, you know, you walk in, you may see an 80-year-old grandmother in here. So
yeah.
It kind of takes the whole jitters away. I mean, it's not your typical meathead gym, per se. You're not going to walk in and see a bunch of big guys slamming weights around. You're going to see people from all walks of life. So you just kind of come in and you just kind of blend in. You know what I mean?
So the one thing about it, we've talked about this before, is the transformation you see in people. I mean, I've lost 60 pounds. This gym's a big thing. I got to think over the years you've seen – people walk in this gym with no clue, and then in no time at all, they've dropped 20, 30 pounds and feeling good about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I love about this business. I mean, people come in here. We have people who have never worked out a day in their life sometimes that will come in, join the gym. Sometimes they'll get a trainer, sometimes not, and you do. Over time, I pay close attention to people when they come in and just kind of watch their progress over time, and it's very rewarding to see. You know, I actually – well, I have people stop me. Like, you know, I'll see people outside of the gym, and they'll come up and say, man, I was in your gym years ago. I came in there, and I was at a point in my life. I was going through tough times.
Right.
I came in this gym, and this gym just impacted my life in such a positive way. And that gives me the greatest satisfaction
when I
hear those stories, you know.
Yeah.
You know, hearing your story, you know, I saw you post on Facebook last night.
Right.
You know, you're going through some tough times,
yep.
I guess, and – you know, you weighed, what did you weigh?
331.
331.
And I sent you a text. I said, hey, I see you have that cardio boxing class. Give me the guy's name. It was Jeremiah. And then next thing you know, I'm addicted to him. I'm addicted to the class. And,
I
when I miss it, I feel terrible. But it really changed my mental and physical outlook on life because of this place.
Sure, sure. And that's, you know, that's what we love to hear. And the key is just getting your foot in the door. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, just come on in. I mean,
right.
If you don't ever make it in the door, you're never going to know.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you get going, you start feeling better, you start having more energy, you look in the mirror, you start looking better.
Yep.
I mean, what can go wrong?
You're exactly right.
I mean, your mental well-being, I mean, you sleep better. I mean, working out is amazing.
And I think, again, to the point, we're talking to Mark Johnson, the owner of Competitive Edge Strength and Conditioning here in Hermitage. I think the other thing is you're in this gym every day, man. I mean, this is – you own this gym. I mean, you care about – you're here cleaning this gym. I mean, you're here – this is more than just owning a gym, isn't it?
It is. It is. I'm pretty much married to the place. You know? But to be in this business and to do it right, that's what you have to do. You know, and that's the key to being in business for 10 years is – being hands-on all the time in the business.
So how can somebody get involved and get a membership? Obviously just walk in, but is there a way they can contact you?
Sure. You can contact us on Facebook. You can always DM us. We answer those fast. Also, our phone number is 615-678-7618. You can reach us by phone. We'd love to see anybody, you know, come in and join us. I mean, it's like I say, if you're looking for that type of atmosphere, we're here. You know, we love what we do, and you can tell by, you know, when you come in the door.
Yeah, and I love it. I mean, what are your hours too?
So Monday through Friday we're 4:30 a.m. to 11 p.m., and then Saturday we're 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. or excuse me, 10 p.m. and then Sunday 6 a.m. to 9 p.m.
And you got a key card, so it's not like you got to check in at the front desk. Right, everybody comes and does it and gets it done. And I just think it's – and here's the great thing is when you come in, you just get to work.
That's it.
Yeah. Just get to work.
That's it.
That is awesome. Now, I know you have to be feeling pretty good about your Vols. I see the UT hat on.
Oh, man. What a day yesterday. You know, seeing Nico step in his, starting debut, what a job he did. He stepped in and managed the team well, and they played an awesome game yesterday. I don't think anybody expected that.
Are you a Vols fan that you're ready to hang the banner next year for national championship, or do you still want to temper expectations a little bit?
I've been a Vols fan all my life, so I never say that. I feel like it's a jinx. I don't want to be one of those Vols fans every year is the year, you know. So I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, I think we have a good shot at getting in the top 12 next year. I love the new format, you know. If not next year, the following year. So
sure.
I think the future looks bright in Knoxville.
Yesterday was the first bowl game you've missed since when? 1950?
Probably. We've had season tickets for 48 seasons.
Oh, so, good Lord.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey over the years, you know, going up there and going to bowl games and away games. You know, we love our Vols for sure.
You know, it's crazy. It'd be 25 years, I think, tomorrow or the next day, the Fiesta Bowl, the national championship. 25 years.
That doesn't seem possible, man. I mean, I was there, and it literally seems like it was 10 years ago. It doesn't seem like it's been 25 years.
That is crazy.
Here's a better question, though. Nico's wearing number 8. Who's the better number 8, Andy Kelly or Nico?
I think it's
Tyler Bray.
Yeah. I'm going Andy Kelly, baby. Until I see Nico's full resume.
I think it's to be seen. You know, which one's going to be? I think Nico is going to be. I think he's going to be amazing. You know, if he stays.
Oh yeah.
You know, all this.
Oh, I think he's going to stay. Yeah, I think they got it figured out where he'll stay.
Yeah,
so
I think so.
Should be interesting. Mark, thanks so much for having us today and here at Competitive Edge and. Everybody needs to come out and see Mark and get a membership and get to feeling better.
We're going to talk to Ty, one of the trainers here at 10:30, who's got clients all over the country virtually and show up here. So it's a good place. Thanks, man. I love this place.
I appreciate it, man. I'm glad you're here, and I just want to wish everyone a Happy New Year.
Perfect.
Happy New Year, indeed. We'll have more coming in hour number 2. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.